Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I'm Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Delaney. So what?
Welcome along. This is the Friday afternoon episode. Well, for Friday afternoon, it's normally Friday morning, but we're late. Half term and all that is completely... Half-term.
Hashtag half time logistics.
It's thrown a fucking curveball into our usual routines and lives.
Half term man is a bit like straight man. It's like a subset.
Halfway between straight and kind of existence at all, really, isn't it?
Yeah, you're half out of your rig, half in your rig. Like, rig man is the opposite of straight man, right? Yeah. And somewhere in between, there's half-term man. You're in your rig, but your usual systems, your logistical processes and procedures have been thrown all out of sync. You're not fully operational. Right. You have been completely discombobulated by half term. There are kids asking you to do things.
Wanting to go places.
Or sometimes you want to take them places because they're driving you mad running around the house. My daughter, she's looks fine, but, you know, my boy, he's like got too much alcohol. We've got to go out. We've got to do something. We've got to burn off some energy. Yeah. I don't want to go out. Sometimes they don't want to go out, and that's worse than when they do want to go out.
The weather's shit. I don't know what it's like down there, but the weather's shit here.
Well, it's pretty grim. I was thinking of taking him to see the otters, wasn't I? But he's not interested.
Oh, man.
A man who has lost their love of otters is a man who's lost their love of life. I told him that.
Yeah. It was Dr. Johnson said that, wasn't it?
It was him, yeah.
Yeah.
I tell you what you don't see a lot of anymore, mate.
What's that?
It came up. Soldering irons. Because there's a knife that is very precious to my wife and I in this house, and we've always used it. It's a knife that I can't remember a time when we didn't have this knife, and
would you describe it as an emotional support knife?
It's an emotional support knife. It means a lot to us. It's almost like, I would say, in the sort of hierarchy in the house, it's just about the same level as the cat, right? In terms of the role it plays in the family.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I've lived with my wife for 20 years. I can't remember a time before the knife. The knife was there before the kids or the cat. And last night, she posted a picture on Instagram. It was a horrible way for me to find out. It was quite insensitive of her, actually, that on Instagram she posted a picture, right? And it was of this knife. It's a very small knife. Very small. It's sweet, really.
What's its purpose? It's not a butter knife, then. It's smaller than a butter knife.
It's small but sharp, and it is perfect for peeling an orange.
Right.
It's small, sharp, and slightly curved.
What kind of handle has it got?
It's got a plastic handle, and over the years... Remember that thing on the internet, is this dress blue, or is it... What was the other thing it was supposed to be? Gold, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
We've had that years before that became a thing. We've had that in this house over the knife, because she would always say, get the blue knife. And I'd be like, do you mean the fucking grey knife, right? Anyway, that's just one of the fun little stories surrounding this knife, mate. Yeah, I could write a whole...
You could probably do a podcast series about it.
Or write a column in the New Yorker magazine.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With a little funny illustration.
Yeah.
Opening sentence. We'd had the knife for as long as I can remember. Full stop.
Mm-hmm.
It had played as much a role in our lives, if you really stop to think about it, as our children or our cat, Nelson. Blah, blah, fucking blah. There's 2,000 words, PDF invoice attached, dickheads. Fucking New Yorker magazine. New Yorker magazine's like the least fucking amusing magazine in the whole fucking news agents. And yet people who claim to like it, no one really does. It's like a fucking posing thing. Oh, have you seen the cartoon in this week's New Yorker? What, the really unfunny one where a bloke's thinking something about his dog and then his dog's thinking something about him?
Yeah.
And it's sort of like crappily satirical.
And the kind of Americans that read The New Yorker are the worst kind of Americans because they're not really Americans. They don't want to be Americans.
They want to be English.
They think they're sophisticated. Yeah, they want to be English, exactly. Yeah.
They all dress like university professors, how they imagine English university professors dress, but how no English university professor has ever dressed. They wear a jumper, but with a bow tie.
Yeah, they dress like Sting in 1985 when he went solo.
And they walk around with their fucking New Yorkers and they read these crappy little articles about someone's written 2,000 words about a knife. And the editor's gone, oh, this is delicious. I love it. I love it.
It has got so much heart and character.
Yeah, just great insight to ordinary folk. Yep. Ordinary American folk telling the little tales that paint little vignettes of American lives that go on all across this great land.
Fuck off.
Fucking hell, fuck off. Anyway, I'm going to write this essay for The New Yorker about my knife that broke.
Good.
Fucking broke. And I've seen it. She broke it peeling a pumpkin. I could have told her, mate. It's completely unsuitable for pumpkin carving.
It doesn't sound big enough for a pumpkin.
It was like a delicate little bird. Amongst our knives, we've got big knives, small knives, medium knives. Got all sorts of knives. This one was the baby of the family. Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't have been exposed to a pumpkin. And it broke over all these years. And honestly, you know, I'm sure you and most of the camels will be able to relate to this. In all honesty, joking aside, when you've had an item in your house, a kitchen item, a seemingly mundane humdrum item for that many years, and there's a few little running jokes about it, like disputes over what colour it is and blah, 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 right? When it does perish, you do feel slightly a mild heartbreak, not heartbreak, but a small heart fracture.
I'm just thinking, I had, from your description of it, I had a fucking similar knife. And I don't know where it is.
Right.
We're talking about, we're talking about a blade of about maybe, 3 inches maybe?
Yeah, maximum.
Plastic handle? Yeah, I had one and I don't know if I've still got it. And now I'm worried about that.
You better go and check straight after the podcast. Was it usually used for fruit mainly?
Yeah. Or cheese.
Do you know what's really sad about this knife?
Cheese. Yeah.
I hadn't even had the chance to use it on a pear. Because it wasn't until, 10 days ago that I tried a pear for the first time.
You've just discovered the pear. Perhaps there's a link.
Are you saying the knife wanted to die?
The knife wanted to die because it got wind of the fact that you were into pears and it wasn't ready.
Oh, fucking hell. He's just discovered pears. I knew this day would come.
I'm happy with what I've got. It's sometimes it's strawberries. Sometimes it's, you know, oranges.
He just used me to cut the green bits off the top of the strawberry. Fucking easy job.
Kiwi fruit, take the skin off that. I'm happy with what I do. I'm not sure I'm ready to take on pears as well. I'm old. I don't like change.
Why? At this stage in his fucking life, he's old too. Why has he suddenly decided to start getting into pears? Fucking hell. He's had his chance. He had years to get into pears. Why do it now? It's pathetic. It's like those guys who have midlife crisis, leave their wives, start going out with a 25-year-old and get really into ecstasy, but for the first time, start going to their mates. Oh, have you ever tried ecstasy? It's amazing.
Really good.
Last night, I put on Crowded House and just danced all night.
I only had a half, but, you know, it was enough. What a work night.
I was buzzing off my tits. That's what Cassandra says. It's a little phrase I picked up off her. She's not my secretary anymore. She's starting her own business. Anyway, the knife's perished, and I'm gutted. And
the knife's killed itself.
I was out, and I woke up this morning. First thing I said, "What happened to the knife?"
Mm.
Pumpkin. I said, "I think we can fix it." She went, "No, don't. If you start thinking that, you'll only end disappointment." I said, "Soldering iron." That's the way to fix it, because the plastic handle hasn't broke, the blade has snapped, and it's a clean snap.
Right.
So I reckon soldering iron. But that's it. She went, "You don't know how to use soldering iron." I said, "You've got to be joking. I went to school in the 80s. Yeah. CDT, Craft Design soldering. Technology. My main memory of my first 2 years at secondary school was soldering.
Yeah.
They just made you solder. You got in, solder. right? Playtime, back in, more soldiering.
That's what
was, lunchtime.
That's what comprehensive education was about in the '80s, preparing you for heavy industry, soldering
Thatcher.
Stuff.
Thatcher famously made a speech, right, on the steps of Downing Street in 1979 after she won her first election, and she stood and she said, "Rejoice, no child in this country will ever grow up ignorant of soldiering ever again." And in their manifesto pledges, they promised a soldering iron for every single child in this country.
They did.
And I don't think that they ever gave them out. They didn't. It was a big, ambitious plan. It didn't work out. But they did at least make sure that we all had, I would say, at least 40 hours of solid soldering training in the first 2 years of secondary education. That was standard in the 80s.
And did you do technical drawing as well?
Sometimes drawings, but you were bored at it. You go in, he'd start telling you. And I don't know about you, but our CDT lessons were in the porter cabins, right?
Oh,
that's
right.
Where they stuck them. Put them in the porter cabins, right?
Yeah. Because then if anything blows up, what's the worry?
Fuck
it's just
it.
A porter cabin.
Damage limitation. Less collateral damage this way. Stick them in a porter cabin over there in the field, not near any of the other buildings.
We have to assume that at some point one of these little cunts is going to blow something up. It might as well be the porter cabin.
A few years ago, fucking clever cunt soldered himself to the canteen on purpose. It was a dispute over his chips.
He rang the local paper, told him to come down because he was soldering his arm to the counter.
Right. But, yeah, I think his name was Mr. Greenwood, and what was brilliant was he wore a brown workshop coat, similar to the one worn by Mr. Bennett, the calamitous caretaker out of Tony Hart.
Yeah.
You know those coats?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did your bloke wear one of them?
The woodwork and metalwork teachers did.
Yeah.
I didn't do CDT.
Right.
Our CDT... Obviously, this is 3 years before yours. Our CDT group had to be bused to a separate location. I think it was to Sunderland College.
What?
So they had to go...
Well, because you didn't have the rig up
we
in
didn't
your
have
school.
The rig. We didn't
right.
have the rig. And it
didn't
was
have the porter cabin.
It was an entire afternoon's lesson, so it wasn't just a double period. It was a quadruple period. You got it from 1 through to 3:30, and they had to go on a bus. And I did art. I did GCSE art instead. So I just got to hang around
in the art
room doing drawings.
Before your GCSEs... Didn't they, like, don't give you a go? So when did you get your soldering in, then?
We did a bit in metalwork.
Metalwork, yeah. Well, CDT was basically taking metalwork, woodwork, all of that, and putting it all amalgamated into...
Yeah.
It was just, like, stick it all into one subject.
Yeah.
And you got goggles. You sometimes even got those masks that stop you inhaling, like, wood chips, right,
fucking
or whatever,
hell, yeah.
poisonous gases. And there was a circular saw in there, mm-hmm. right, which occasionally got to use. But there's always stories about, oh, there was a kid here in the year above who chopped his thumb off or whatever. But it was mainly soldering. And if he tells you technical drawing, you'd start doing it a bit bored. Like, have you drawn what it is you're going to make? Yeah, sort of. Can we just get on the fucking solder now, mate?
Get the soldering
iron
out, yeah.
Cut to the fucking good bit. And he'd just sit there reading his fucking paper and go, fine, get the soldering out. And you just solder.
Yeah.
Just non-stop soldering. It's my main thing that happened at school. They trained us all to solder. But by the time we left school, she'd fucking sold off or savaged all of our industry.
Yeah.
And so we were all highly trained solderers without nowhere to go. That's why I had to go into the podcasting game.
It's almost like the soldering promise of 79 was a big fuck you, but a preemptive fuck you.
Yeah.
And then she just took it all away.
It makes no sense to promise us all to train us the whole country as the almost the elite. She's like, you know, in Japan, kids are soldering, you know, but before they can even walk.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
We are lagging behind the Asian tiger economies, and this will change. This will be, remember, like, right when Harold Wilson said that he will rebuild the British economy with the white heat of technology. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
White heat. Mm. Her version was rebuild it with the silver heat of solder.
We were almost solder soldiers, weren't we?
Yeah.
But then we were thrown to the dogs.
But I tell you what else, mate. Ultimately, we were solder lie.
Oh, God, yeah, we were.
Yeah, now, that's send that to the New Yorker
put
as
that
well,
the
mate.
New Yorker, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Scandinavia, they get them out soldering when they're like three in the woods.
Naked.
With battery-operated soldering irons that they don't need to plug in.
Yeah, naked in the woods, running around, I'm not fucking sure they're soldiering
naked.
Everything.
I'm not sure they're
pretty
naked.
Pretty sure they are. But
are they? Okay, that's weird. So you're going to have a crack
at it. I haven't got a soldering iron. I wouldn't even know where to source one.
B&Q. B&Q.
Really? Yeah. I haven't set eyes upon a soldering iron in years.
B&Q. I don't know where in B&Q you'd find one, but you'll get one in B&Q.
And, well, I'll just go online. And also, what about the solder? Presumably they sell that in packs, do they?
I hope so. I'm going to have a quick look now.
Do you think they probably sell it in a coil? Like a massive coil and you buy it by the length? Like
probably,
because
it used to
20
be,
metres
it?
Worth.
Yeah.
For instance. There you are.
Whoa, I'm looking at it now. Solder wire, 20 grams, £2, B&Q.
Oh, so they sell it by weight?
And it's in like a tube, but yeah, it's in a coil form.
Is it coiled? Right. Okay. Have you found the iron?
Well, if they're selling the solder, they're going to sell the iron. Stands to reason, doesn't it?
Yeah, unless you need a licence. I mean, they're potentially very dangerous things. Do you not need a licence like you need for a gun?
That's what makes it exciting.
You can't just have anyone walking into a shop buying a soldering iron, then they could go out on the street and use it like for evil, couldn't they? They could go around soldering people in the face.
You can get a B&Q corded soldering iron for £14, and then you can get the solder for £2.
Well, this is ridiculous, mate. This is the sort of thing that Michael Moore should make a documentary about. It is disgusting, right, that in this day and age, we live in a country where you can walk in off the street, anyone, without a licence, without any background checks, and for £14 buy a fucking soldering iron, get for a few more pounds, get the solder itself, and then you're free to use it however you wish. That is a ticking time bomb.
You've got hot metal, you know, at your mercy almost, to do whatever you want to do with anywhere, to anyone at any time, with impunity.
You're basically like one of the X-Men.
Jalapeño.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jalapeño.
For £27, Sam, for £27, you could get a Rothenberger corded soldering gun. You can be firing hot metal at people across
the
room.
You could take that to the football. You could become a master of metal, a man able of like Magneto. That's who I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Magneto or Magneto, whatever he's called, right?
Magneto.
Cornetto, right? Sounds like a combination of the Cornetto and the Magnum. But he's played by Sir Ian McKellen, but his young self is played by that Irish actor. Anyway, it's like you basically are like him. You could have that power. If you've got £27, if you're listening to this, you've got £27 in your pocket. By this afternoon, you could be Magneto out there. You could be controlling all metals. And I hope that you're sane and you don't have mental health issues. But let's face it, most of us fucking do. And I just think this could be... People are all distracted by Brexit. Have you seen any of these parties as we build up to a new election? Have you seen any of them say anything about soldiering irons? No.
Well, They can't because it's all about the uncertainty around Brexit. And yeah. if you don't know if you're going to be EU or not, you don't know what regulations you're going to have to abide by. And obviously, once if we are out of the EU, soldering regulations, I imagine, because it's the Tories, scrapped.
They'll deregulate. And there's already hardly any regulation. So I remember David Cameron proudly announcing the bonfire of the red tape. He did that when he came to power. And what he meant was, I'm going to stop all of my property developer friends having to obey rules about building buildings safely. And anyway, cut a long story short, Grenfell.
Yeah, true.
I don't want to take us down dark areas, but the soldering situation is not a good one.
No, it's not. Having said that, if you are going to get into this soldering thing, Sam, there is currently an offer on the Rothenberger soldering mat, which is 39 centimetres by 20 centimetres. So it's a good size mat. You can get a lot of soldering done on that. You can easily do your knife on it and whatever else you fancy soldering.
Is it just a mat you put down when you're soldering to stop stuff getting on your side in the kitchen?
Yeah, basically, yeah. And it's down from £33.33 to just £10.
I'm going to need a mat, aren't I? Because you don't.
Of course, you're going to need a mat.
You don't want to damage any of your surfaces.
You're going to. Oh, it's in stock in Sunderland as well. It's not. It's not one of those reductions that's not in stock. It's just there to entice you. It's in stock. Do you know where your nearest B&Q is?
Yeah, I would usually go to Homebase, to be honest.
All right. Okay.
There's a nearer Homebase than there is B&Q.
I can't help you there. You'd have to have a look online Homebase because.
Do you not get the Homebase website?
The Homebase website isn't region specific. We do get
that. Did you not buy that package when you got your internet package from Sky?
No, it's available. I do get 100% of the internet. But we haven't got a Homebase that's close enough. B&Q is much closer.
You just don't bother with it?
Nah, not anymore. But yeah, you can get it at B&Q, £10 for the mat, £12 for the cheapest iron. You don't want the gun. Do it like your forefathers would have done it.
That's cheating. I do it also. Well, that's how I was trained. I was trained with an iron. I wouldn't know where to start with the gun. I don't want to retrain. They say with soldering, and I hope it's true, that it's like riding a bike. Because I probably haven't soldered since 1988. But I hope that instinct or muscle memory will just kick in, mate.
I think the secret is take your time. It always was then. Patience.
Yeah.
Wait for that solder to melt properly and just be fucking careful. Just take your time. Don't put too much on. It's always good to put a little bit on and then add to it. Don't go in ham-fisted and put too much on.
You know what I'm like, mate?
I do.
You know me. You've never seen me solder.
No, I can imagine, though.
You have certain insights to my mentality.
Yeah.
How would you imagine I solder?
Like Liberace. Full on.
Darling, solder for everyone. I bought all the solder in the world. Isn't it wonderful, children? Gather round. Yeah. I shall spray the solder all over the room.
Yeah.
Isn't it pretty?
I have
Look
soldered
how
the
it twinkles.
I have soldered the fridge to the floor. Now it will be there forever.
I will solder my own eyelids shut.
Yeah, kind of a bit like that. I mean, I was going to say to you a few minutes ago, it's the kind of thing you could do over half term with Len. Mm. It could be a good father and son activity.
Fucking great.
Obviously, he'd have to watch. He'd want a little go. He'd give him a little go. But, you know.
Let me ask something. I can't remember. Do you have to wear protective gloves?
Nah.
Because it gets hot.
Well, the handle of the soldering iron will be fairly warm, but you don't have to use gloves, I don't think.
Yeah, you don't touch the fucking solder.
No, don't touch the solder.
You shouldn't, anyway.
Don't touch the solder or the tip of the iron. Fucking, you might as well.
Fucking hell!
Straight down the ear.
That's fine. I'll just stick on a pair of marigolds. That should be all right.
Yeah, they melt under your skin. That'll be good.
All right. Well, I'll keep posted on that. At the moment, I don't know where the parts of the knife are. I hope she hasn't thrown them because I would hope that we'd give it the respectful burial it deserves
in the garden with the pets.
Yeah. If I cannot. Yeah, if we can't, like, just dig a hole, bury it in a shoebox, or put something in there, a little message, and have a little family gathering, that's how I'd like. But maybe, just maybe, I could what do you call it when something comes back to life?
Reincarnation?
Resurrect.
Resurrect.
Yeah. I could resurrect it. We'll see. It might be wonderful.
It might just be in the bottom of the kitchen bin. You can just fish it out.
Yeah, I'll fish it out. Anyway, that's soldering.
That's
covered off.
The vast majority of the episode, really. Should we do some football predictions?
Yeah.
Okay. We've got six matches, as usual. We've got... Are you going to do this in a high-press style?
I'm ready to high-press.
Are you
press.
Ready to high-press? Here we go, then.
Yeah.
Aston Villa versus Liverpool.
0-2.
Ooh. I will go for 1-2. Did you see Klopp moaning the other day because they've got the fucking Carabao Cup quarter final to play, and they've got 9 fixtures in December, and that'll be one of them? Mm. And he says they might just pull out of the competition altogether.
Not now.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
He can't do that.
Well, he's
That's
talking about
disgusting.
He fucking played a reserve team the other night against Arsenal, whoever it was, 5-5,
all the mad bastards. Yeah. That's like Roy of the Rovers.
He's like,
fuck it now.
He's like, yeah, we're not playing anymore. We've sorted it now. We've done it. 5-5 penalty shootout.
They've completed the Carabao Cup. Yeah. I think that he should be careful what he says because he's quite a popular character. But if you start saying shit like that, it's don't fuck with the Carabao Cup. Carabao Cup's the best tournament in football.
Yeah. In what other year has there not been a Carabao Cup quarterfinal in December? Never.
I know. Prick. Fucking hell. Yeah, what about Oxford? They knocked out... They did the hat-trick. Apparently they knocked out... I didn't know they'd knocked out Millwall, but apparently they knocked out Millwall, then West Ham, then Sunderland. They've done the fucking Top Flight Time Machine hat-trick, and I am right behind them to go all the way. Well, come on, Oxford.
They're their official enemies of Top Flight Time Machine. Have you seen who they've got next round, though?
City.
Mad City as well.
Yeah, I don't think... I think that's where their run ends.
That's the end of that,
impressive
then.
Stuff, though.
Yeah, well done. Arsenal versus Wolves. I'll go first on this one. I think this will be 2-0
Arsenal.
2-0
Arsenal.
2-0
Arsenal.
Well?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've already got it written
spot,
down.
Of course, for all of these, says 1-0.
Yeah.
Crystal Palace versus Leicester.
Oh, fuck, I didn't have that on my list.
Nil two. Leicester, of course, everyone's favourite team. All of a sudden, the entertainers like Newcastle were in 1995.
Also, hipsters team. They're a hipsters team. They are because everyone, even before season started, is going, yeah. Well, basically, Leicester have the two best midfielders in the league, possibly Europe. Indeed, Ian Tielemans. And they're like, oh, shut up. Well, what? Look at the stats. Go on the stats website.
Fuckers were right as well.
Yeah, cunts.
Hipster cunts.
Always paying attention to the details, the fucking dickheads.
Palace,
fucking
right,
nerds.
Right, I'm going 2-1 Palace for that, just out of spite. Right, onto our own teams. I'll go first this one. Sunderland versus Southend. Southend, of course, now managed by Sol Campbell.
This week.
Yeah, he's just took over there, yeah.
That probably won't end well.
I think we can win this 2-1. Only just.
Yeah, I think you'll win as well. I'm going to say
1-0. 1-0. Having a bit of a yawn there. Nice.
Yeah.
West Ham versus Newcastle.
1-0.
Oh, I think he'd do better than that. 2-0. No, I'm going to go 3-0.
Fucking hell. Hope so, mate.
And finally, Reading versus Millwall. I'll go first if you want this one. Reading, Millwall. 1-1.
3-0 Reading.
Pooh. The hatred of Millwall is strong. There we are.
I know. I look at Millwall's results sometimes and they're very unpredictable.
Mm.
They're a very volatile team.
I've got some notes here that I made for this episode and we got so carried away with soldering that we might not have time for this, but I'm just going to say to you, Sam.
Let's do what we can.
I'm just going to say to you, wild tortoise attack.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was away in my Isle of Wight rig, wasn't I? I went away with my daughter for a few days and my mum was there. So, I mean, I told you about a running commentary on fucking Jaws. They should release a DVD with my mum's commentary on it. Unbelievable. We watched Jaws 2. John Jaws 2 the following night, which is, I don't know if you remember, but John Jaws 2, my mum's like, we've got to watch the second one. It's one of the funniest films I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
And I thought, oh, she's just mental. I mean, she thinks The Shining, which is her favourite film, is like a comedy. She thinks it's like hilarious, right? Well, I mean, he's so mad. That's what she always says about it. Yeah, I'm sure Kubrick would have been delighted with that review.
Knockabout comedy.
Yeah, she should recut. You get those videos, don't you, online of like people recutting the trailer for a scary film as a comedy and vice versa. Anyway, she thinks Jaws 2 is a comedy, and I was like, I'll shut my. And then I saw it, and she's right, because in Jaws, John Jaws 1, famously, they didn't. When Spielberg made it, he was disappointed because the shark, the fake shark they'd made, looked so shit, right?
Yeah.
So in the edit, it looked like a disaster. So his editor saved him by recutting a film with hardly any of the shark in and just using those POV shots of it moving through the water.
Yeah.
Like from the shark's own point of view, and used, obviously, John Williams' music. And that was what made it the masterpiece it was, right? Don't show the shark. That was the trick. Don't show the shark until the end. And the second
tortoise?
One... Yeah, sorry. The second one, John Jaws 2, they've got a different director. Spielberg's fucked off, and the director's gone mad and shows the shark non-stop all the way through. But the shark performs completely uncanny and absurd fucking stunts. This huge, inanimate, obviously made of spun shark keeps leaping out of the water and just fucking jumping onto boats and chasing people around and shit like that.
On wheels.
At one point, he jumps out and fucking grabs the fucking a helicopter. There's one of those helicopters that lands on the sea, and all the kids are like stranded on a raft. They go, oh, thank God you're here. He goes, yeah, don't worry, I'm going to tow you in my helicopter. I'll just take back off again. And he's just taking off the water, and suddenly John Jaws just leaps out and gives it, hey, where the fuck do you think you're going? Not so fucking fast, dickhead. You'll land something like that on my fucking turf, it's getting eaten. And he just fucking leaps out and bites it out of the sky. And then he drags it under and eats the whole helicopter.
Nom, 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 nom.
Anyway, we were talking about one of my earliest memories was we used to live on this estate in Brentford, and I was sat out the back, and I didn't know, but there was a wild tortoise on the estate.
Wow.
It had no owner. It just roamed, right? Yeah. And I think it ate in the wild, or
people lived around it.
People knew it. It was part of the community, and they'd go, there he goes, and they'd give him a little bit of carrot. John Tortoise, right? But I'd never seen this tortoise before, and it's one of my earliest memories. I was like a toddler. I don't know, maybe I wasn't even two yet. And I was sat out the back, right, in the little backyard, and the gate at the bottom opened up into one of the walkways. And suddenly, I'm sat there doing whatever the fuck I was doing, and this fucking tortoise walks in, right?
What?
And now you got to imagine, my exposure to animals is, I suppose, cats, dogs, we had a rabbit, right? Furry things.
Yeah.
This thing, I mean, if you really think about it, imagine you've never seen a tortoise before. It looks like a fucking prehistoric monster, right? Comes in.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. They've got those claws.
Yeah.
They've got a big fucking
hard shell. Yeah.
You're right. They look like a sort of a big dinosaur that's been shrunk down in the oven like you used to do to
the crisp packets. Yeah, of course.
And so I've gone mad. I remember it. And I'm like, crying, screaming. My mum is telling my 12-year-old daughter this story, right? And she's going, and then she looks at me, and she goes, oh, and this tortoise came in. I heard him screaming, and I didn't know what was happening, and I went out, and it was this little wild tortoise that lived on the estate, and it had come in. And she had this smile, and she looked at me, and she just went, and you fucking shit yourself. Right? In front of my daughter. And then she just started laughing uncontrollably at the memory of it. She went, you fucking shat it. You were crying your eyes out like the fucking... It was like the devil
like
himself had appeared to you. And I was like, yeah, exactly. Crying like a baby because I was a fucking baby. And then, by the way, why was there a wild tortoise on the estate? She went, yeah, that was weird, actually. I've been thinking about it. No one knew who owned that tortoise. It just fucking walked around.
Went around doing stuff.
Afternoon.
Yeah.
Afternoon. What are you up to?
Got anything for me? Got any leaves?
All right, young man. Hey, what are you crying for? It's me, John Tortoise. You don't need to cry. I'm well known round these parts.
Just give me a bit of carrot and I'll be on my way.
Yeah, you ain't got nothing to worry about me, mate. I'm just the local tortoise. I'm on my way up the newsagents. Get myself a paper, do the crossword.
Maybe put a bet on, have a cup of tea somewhere.
John fucking Tortoise. Now, you know, my mum mocked me, but I think it's totally legitimate for a baby to be scared by a tortoise.
I think so. Yeah, of course. Maybe if you'd seen it on Blue Peter, it would be all right, because it would be being handled by other people.
But I wasn't even at that age where I was watching Blue Peter yet.
No, exactly. It was wild. If you'd seen one, it would be a cartoon one, probably, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm not even sure if I'd seen that. Mm. I mean, this was the late 70s, mate. We're not even in the 80s yet.
Yeah, cartoons were rudimentary back then, so it wouldn't have looked anything like what you saw.
Steamboat Willie. Yeah. He was a fucking mouse, wasn't he?
Steamboat John Tortoise. Right, that's it. That's all we've got time for.
Okay. So
I'll let you go now. Half term's nearly over. You can go and do a bit of soldering before it finishes.
Oh, yeah, let's squeeze in some like half time. So, have you got any pictures of you? If you own a soldering iron, you've got any tips on soldering? Any tips on saving a precious knife?
Yeah.
Or anything related to soldering, please do get in touch.
Yes. Your contributions are appreciated as always. And if you're in Liverpool, buy some fucking tickets for this show, will you?
Fuck's sake, buy some tickets, Scousers. We want to see you. We don't want this to turn into a thing. You know, we love Liverpool. Remember my Scouse Nan? Do it for her, fuck's sake.
Yeah. TTFN.
TTFN, dickheads.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.